Blog Talk Radio.
Injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this. And it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. A The real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Well, to move on out of it for a moment.
$1 trillion flow. From L.A. to Miami.
New expression, a new philosophy,
love. A $1 billion flow. A $1 trillion flow. We are able to have more money than the government, because we are the government. A $1 trillion flow coming from Egypt. Coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago. The birthplace of Malcolm X. The birthplace of Martin Luther King. DuSable. I'm talking about the $1 trillion flow. The slave train. I'm talking about Paul Lawrence done by Robeson. The slave train. The $1 billion flow. You and me. Me and you. Poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yeah, you can have that new Ben. Yeah, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that. Yes, you can have it up on the hill, up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A. You can have the $1 billion. Your health is 100%. You 100% deal. You 100% woman. You 100% man. You 100% up with your education. I'm talking about the $1 billion flow. We are right for getting what belongs to us. Give me what you owe me, and you owe me $1 billion flow. I want what's mine. I want to have the best of life. I want the sun to shine on me. I want my fellas to wake up. People of color all over the world is in the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe you in down in California. Maybe you in Texas. Maybe you in New York. Florida, maybe you're in Canada, but you're in the $1 billion world. Maybe you're in St. Paul, Minnesota, or Indianapolis, Indiana. We're talking about the $1 billion flow. It's going on up in New York and Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the $1 billion flow, down in Texas, Arkansas.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory tonight. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory tonight.
Blog Talk Radio.
Now in your life's blueprint, be sure that you have that principle of somebody. In your life's blueprint, you have the basic principle, the determination to achieve excellence in your various fields of endeavor. You're going to be deciding as the days and the years unfold what you will do, what your life will be. Once you discover what it will be, set out to do it, and to do it well. I'm friends, that doors are opening to each of you. Those opportunities, each of you, are not open to your mothers and to your fathers. And the great challenge facing you is to be ready to interview doors as they open. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great essayist, said in a lecture back in 1871 that the man that writes better book, preach better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbor, even if he built his house in woods, the world may be passed to his door. That hadn't always been true, but it meant you to study hard, to burn the midnight oil. I say to you, don't drop out of school. Understand all of the sociological reasons why we often drop out of school. I urge you, in spite of your economic plight, in spite of the situation that you are forced to live so often within political conditions, stay in school. And when you discover what you're going to be in life, set out to do it as the Lord Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. And just don't set out to do a Negro job, do a good job that anybody could do. Don't set out to teach a good Negro preacher, a good Negro barber, a beautician, skilled labor. Set out to do that. You have already flunked your matriculation exam for entrance to the university education. Set out to do a good job and do that job.
Greetings. This is just doing a special short version of the cows. Wanted to speak with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. about homosexual activity. I was able to speak with him privately last week, and he shared some really interesting thoughts, and I wanted him to share that with you all briefly. I didn't want to take up too much of his time. Mr. Fuller, when I spoke with you, you said that white people tend to think of non-white people as boys and girls, and you tied that into how that relates to homosexual behavior. Could you share that with our audience so they can get a really clear picture of what you're saying?
Well, there is a system of white supremacy in place, which just means just mistreatment and domination and use of people in a royalist manner, based on color. That's basically what it is. That's what racism is. It's just a variation of the of royalism, but it's based on color rather than on other things like lineage and who your father was and what your name was. I mean, 1,000 years ago, and certain sets of traditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what basically racism is, and it's turned out to be the most powerful form of royalism in the known universe now in the form of what we call racism and or white supremacy. Now, in any structure that's dominant, you have to dominate the people in all areas of activity. If you don't dominate them in all areas of activity, then other areas of activity will slip away from the domination factor. And you have 9 areas, according to what I have written, that would just about cover most things. I think that's adequate enough. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, I call sex the 8th area of activity in alphabetical order of the other areas of activity. So that just comes up as number 8. But sex is the most powerful motivating force among people, next to the system of white supremacy itself. Because whatever the dominant system is, that's what people react to on the planet. So the dominant system at this particular time in history, and has been as far back as anybody can remember who's breathing now, the dominant system, that's mistreatment of people based on color, domination of people based on color. So the sexual aspect is the second most powerful motivating force, rather than the first, under this system, since the racist factor is the dominant motivating force among people, and sexual motivations are the second. Now, the racists, apparently, according to the evidence, have studied how people who are subject to them are motivated sexually. Now, if a male is a boy, which you are a boy, you're a little boy when you're born and whatnot, and then you get to be a bigger boy and whatnot, and at a certain point you reach what they call a certain degree of maturity, which is decided according to the social system that you have at hand, you're now entering the threshold of what they call manhood. So you go from boys to men. Females go from girls to women. And that's the normal process in most societies. So what the racists did was look at that and said, well, you when you have a system of racism, you only have one man and one woman category, and that would be the masters themselves. You can't have your victims of the system growing into manhood and womanhood. So if they start trying to be men, if they go from boys to men, now you have a problem. You have a bigger problem than you had before. When they were boys, they were completely dependent on you. They understood that they'll do your bidding, and they're easier to control. Same way with the girls who are trying to be women. But when they start thinking that they are men, you're not going to have but one man in the house of white supremacy, and he's got to be white. And you're not going to have but one woman, and she has to be white. So now it defies logic that you would allow them to go from boys to men. So if you're not going to allow them to go from boys to men, what will you allow them to do? Because they are constantly growing, they are constantly getting smarter, and they have a natural tendency to want to break away from boyhood and to become men. Say, so what you do is divert them away from wanting to become men and have, if it's a male, have him go from boyhood to femalehood. In other words, he changes his gender altogether, at least in his mind. Then he's easier to control. Then you do the same thing with the female. Take the black female, and rather than allow her to go the normal progression of things, steer her in the direction away from becoming a woman. and in the direction of becoming a male. In other words, she will switch genders in her mind. Now, her body didn't switch genders, but we can probably do some things that give her the illusion that her body can be made to switch genders too. Now, when you do that, what you have is confusion. You have added confusion. And one of the best ways to control people for a long period of time, particularly if you confuse them sexually, is through confusing them sexually so that you have a male thinking he's a female or wanting to be a female, even if he's struggling and trying and whatnot and trying to do everything that a female does, but he doesn't have the physical equipment. But he's got it in his mind anyway. He's just determined he's going to act like one and be one and do the things that females do and look at males like a female looks at males normally. And then over in the female column, have the female do the same thing. Only thing about it, she's not going to try to grow into womanhood. She's going to try to do everything that she sees males doing, including in the bedroom. Try to become an artificial male. And she can do this in her mind because the mind is very flexible. A person can actually think that they are a bird if they want to. But before they try to fly or jump off a building, it's best that they get their equipment for doing so. You know. So that's the way that works. And when you can get people on that roll and when you have people subject to you, you can always propagandize anything. You can make anything look like it's the fashion because you set the rules for the society. So that's what's going on. I tried to be as comprehensive as I possibly could in that description, and I hope
yes,
that people could understand what was being said.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we have now. We're heading in that direction now, full steam ahead.
When I spoke with you, I said that, you know, the counter-argument that I frequently hear is that, well, there are a lot of white people who are also participating in so-called homosexual activity, and, you know, this is not something where they're just trying to trick black people into doing it. You have people who are born so-called gay or homosexual, and, you know, this is no trick at all. If it was, you wouldn't see all these white people going around and doing it and being mistreated because they are participating in these so-called homosexual acts. What would your view on that be?
Depends on how it plays out in the end. Now, if the system of white supremacy remains intact, then that will prove the supposition just outlined. That will prove that it's valid, that it is designed basically to support what is already in place. Otherwise, you would have the system of white supremacy would go out of business. There would be no reason to keep it in business. If the white people were serious about really getting rid of racism and getting rid of what they call all of the sexual and gender categories and all like that, because racism is an artificial category. See, just because people are of different colors doesn't say that they are members of a race. That's an artificial construct. No one is supposed to be a member of a race. That's something completely made up. So if you can do the same thing with gender. You can do the same thing with a lot of things. But you have to wait until it reaches a certain point where you've got enough evidence to prove the proposition that you made in the first place. Now, like I say, this is my concept of the way things are going because there is still a system of racism in place. Now, if racism is still in place, when all of the so-called anti-sexual, that's what I call it, behavior,
yes, sir,
comes to full fruition and everybody's accepting of it, everybody's participating in it or embracing it or parading it around and saying that it's the best thing ever discovered since ever, okay? Now, and you still have a system of racism in place, then that will have proved the supposition because ordinarily, all of racism would disappear. But see, it's designed to lure. Now, here's where I based that on, the luring part. In the history of the system of white supremacy, there's a thing called whiskey. It was very popular, the use of it. Now, if you are a practiced deceiver, one thing that you know about the science and the art of deception, you cannot deceive people into doing things unless you are doing quite a bit of it yourself. If you're going to be what you call a real arch deceiver, and the white supremacists have proven that they are arch deceivers, they are very skillful at deception. So in order to deceive people, you can't get people to drink whiskey, and you're sitting there never drinking any of it yourself. So there's some historical record of this. So what they'll do, a deceiver will sit there and practice drinking whiskey under controlled conditions. You know, take a little sip, know exactly where the point is where you get good and drunk, or where you don't get good and drunk. Then once you learn what they say, and some people brag about it in bars and whatnot, said, hey, I can drink you under the table, meaning they can outdrink you, that you will drink. I mean, that they will drink, and you will drink. But when they drink, they don't get drunk. But you wind up drunk. Many males who have tried to deceive females into sexual activity, you know, back in the days when whiskey was a bigger thing than dope, used to get into the booth in the restaurant and start that process. Say, now what I'll do, I'll know she's not willing really, but she'll be willing before the night's over because I'm going to get her to drink some of this stuff that I brought with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be drinking and she'll be drinking. He'll take a sip, she'll take a sip. Next thing you know, she's willing to go along with anything. She doesn't know what she's doing, but he does. Now, many a person, particularly pimps, understand that thing very well. Now, it's the same way with whiskey as it was used, according to the record of white supremacists themselves, in dealing with people who are called Indians. Sit down, Chief. We're going to have a Thanksgiving Day. We're going to give thanks for all of the wonderful things that have been done for both me and you by our Maker, by the great spirits. And, in fact, I brought some spirits with me. It's in a bottle. You never had anything like this before, but you will want it after you get it. It's called fire water. It's full of spirits. It'll give you spirit like you have never had before, Chief. And the chief said, well, what's wrong with just pure water from the river, from the great streams of our lands? Say, oh, yeah, but you never had nothing like this. This is something we made in a factory. It's got water in it. No mistake about that. But we got a little alcohol and a few other stuff, a little other stuff that I've added here. It'll pep you up, give you another perspective on looking at the mountains altogether. Might be good stuff. So he gives it to the chief. And at the same time, now, the chief is a little suspicious. So he's drinking right along with the chief. So that means everything must be okay. So he's drinking. I'm drinking. Next thing you know, the chief is under the table. Chief's not used to it. And the white supremacist, while he's drunk, or when he begins to come out of the stupor, says, okay, Chief, I got some paper here I want you to sign. I'm going to give you $22 for Manhattan. Now, when the chief really gets sober, see, now he's angry. He wants to go on the warpath. But he's already signed everything away. And what was the instrument for doing it? Deception through an act of using whiskey. Now, the whiskey, you know, that's working all over the world and they're starting to do it in South Africa, in Thailand, and other places and whatnot, is sex and anti-sex. Oh, you don't need to be a female all the time. After all, females have to go through a lot of agony. Wouldn't you like to be like your brother? Well, I don't have the equipment of my brother. Oh, well, you can pretend that you have it. I got some stuff I can sell you in the store. Strap-ons, you name it. And you just get it in your head that you should be a male. Because males can get things done. They got privileges that females don't have. And you say, well, you know, I don't particularly, you know, the lady says, I don't particularly want to be a male and all like that. Well, it's something, you know, have you tried it? You don't know it. Don't knock it if you ain't tried it. And knowing black people, particularly in this area of the world, we like anything that looks like it's bordering on something new because we're so tired of everything that ain't new. And they won't know, we'll go for it. We'll pioneer, you know, we'll lead the parade, which is what they try to get us to do. Now, you can't get a decent place to stay. You can't get a decent job. But if you want to lead the gay parade and you're black, they will reserve a spot for you. If you don't believe it, try it. That's what I mean by evidence of what I'm talking about. The record shows this. And they start with who? The youngest. Okay. Always work with them in the choir and churches and whatnot. And they do it through the most intelligent of black people. They don't start with the fellow sitting there with the wine bottle in front of the liquor store who's 40 years old. Because he's a black male. That's why he's drinking. He's been disallowed to ever be a man, and he knows he'll never be one. He'll always be a boy. And that is tearing him up inside. That's why he left his wife, left his children, and all like that. I mean, he gave up on everything and started drinking. That's why he's sitting on the curb out there. Because he's still struggling to be a man, and he will fight people right there in that parking lot about his manhood. So you can't hardly get to him, even when he's drunk. You say, oh, man, get away from me. Don't be feeling on me. I got this big hip woman out here, you know, this big leg woman out here, you know. You know, if I want to do something like that, that's who I'm going to get with. I don't want you. Get your old rough, dirty hands off of me, you know. Man, I like women, you know. I'm a man, you know. I'm a man. Look at me. I'm a man, you know. I don't want no man. Even when I was in the joint, I didn't want one. See, that's the way he'll talk. He's 40 years old, okay. But what do? They go around and get the teachers and the guys who are going into the ministry, and that's where they spread that gospel among black intellectuals. Because the street dude, see, he's still struggling. I mean, he ain't going to never make it, because you can't be a man under the system of white supremacy. You got to remain a boy or turn into a female.
Mm-hmm.
By turning into a female, I mean having the kind of ideas about the opposite sex that a female has,
mm-hmm.
but you're a male. But you got the same idea about a male as your sister has. You're trying to outdo her. You're trying to take your sister's boyfriend. That's the way the white supremacists want it.
My co-host, I believe is here. She is a non-white female, and she is 10 years old, but she has been studying your work, and she understands that there is a system of racism, white supremacy. I was hoping she could ask some questions as well. Are you there, Justice?
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about the misunderstanding.
Do you have some questions you would like to ask Mr. Fuller?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
Well, she can think about what I said. See, here again, codification is about not taking Neely Fuller's word for anything.
Mm.
In fact, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just walk around and take a look. See, just don't jump into things. Just walk around and take a look and see if it doesn't start adding up. Because that's what I do. I don't jump to a conclusion and then go around trying to bombard people with the conclusion I jump to.
Hmm.
I just go around and see if there's evidence of what I think might be happening.
Hmm.
In fact, I challenge... You might say, if you want to use that term, I say questioning, it's not a challenge. If I have a concept, I'll go around and question the concept that I have before I even reveal it. And see, you know, well, something is going on. Now, why is this happening? Why here? Why now? How come it wasn't happening, you know, 60 years ago? Mm-hmm. Why is it happening now? And why is it happening involving black people on this scale?
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? Yes, and I'm saying now, someone must have thought it up, or it wouldn't be happening, because it's something that's happening between people.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that black people do, the white supremacists always have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not going to be happening in the first place. If it's something that's bad for their business, they will cut it off. They'll put a stop to it. But if it's something that they think is good for their business, they'll not only let it roll, they will support it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard white supremacists argue about white people engaging in what we call homosexuality or gayism or lesbianism and whatnot. And that's another thing, even the terms don't add up, because I've even asked the questions, which is what you do in any kind of research. Why are gay people called gay? Nobody answers that. Is it named after a person, Mr., you know, Frank Joshua J., gay or what, you know, who started it, you know, or who promoted it, who had an organization by that name and it was named after him? I can see that. But it's just, you know, all of a sudden, gay. What does that mean? And then you say gays and lesbians. Then you add another one, transgender. Gays, it started off just being gays, then lesbians, then transgender. So one legitimate question is, where is the cutoff point?
Mm.
See what I mean? And another thing, is a lesbian gay? Why do you say gays and lesbians? I mean, you know, these are just questions, logical
right.
questions.
Right.
If you got a big sign out and you're carrying it around and telling everybody to join in and support it and contribute some money to it and all like that, people should know what they're contributing money to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And another thing, where is the payoff? Now, if it's an improvement over what we call traditional sex, because they call it alternative, that's another term. This is a alternative, you know, meaning something that's different from the usual or something that's various, a variation of the basic. Well, then you ask several questions there. Well, is there anything incorrect about the basic? And a person might say no, but this is an alternative, of course, you know, for people who just got tired of the basics, want to do something different. What's wrong with variety? What's wrong with diversity? Diverting from one thing to another. Well, maybe nothing, but let's examine it. Examine it for what? To see if it is an improvement over what you already had. And if so, justified by showing, by example, where is the improvement? Which one of these, see, when you start talking about homosexuality or lesbianism, these are not just abstract words. These are talking about, you have to do certain things to qualify. So what are these things that you do? And which one of them is an improvement over what has been done? That's just like a person might come around and say, well, hey, you know, I used to kind of be attracted to people, you know, I've had several wives and all like that. Even had a little incest, I mean, every now and then, I mean, you know. But I finally came to the conclusion that people ain't where it's at all. I'm in the bear. You know, you say, what do you mean you're in the bear? I'm into bear. I go out in the woods and I chase me down a bear. The bear ain't chasing me no more. I'm chasing them. I have found that that's a wonderful alternative. I mean, after all, man, I mean, let's face it. Look at these marriages and divorces and whatnot. I don't have no trouble with the bears. I mean, I used to didn't think of anything about bears except just going to the ball game, you know. But I found out that, man, if if you really snuggle up to a bear, you'll never want to go back doing nothing else. Now, where'd you get that idea? Well, it just came to me one night. Tired of these women. In fact, people was telling me, well, if you don't like women, get you a man. Well, I'm tired of them, too. So I'm in the bear. See, now, you might laugh, but it's going to come to that, if it ain't already. Because there are some people into that. Yeah, they call it, what do you call it, bestiality?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see what I mean? That might be a wholesale thing in about another 10 years. They say, well, hey, well, you know, this gay and lesbian thing about played out, man, ain't where it's at. You know? Man, everybody's trying to preserve the bears now. You know, I'm trying to get me a panda. Now, what is the point that I'm making? It's a lots of things that the mind can do. The mind is extremely inventive and extremely flexible. But the basic question is this type of activity an improvement? And if so, why? Otherwise, why are you coming around asking black people who don't even have a roof over their head that this is what they should be pushing now? They don't even have a decent school or a decent job. But now you want them to join the gay rights movement, and that should be their priority. We should drop everything else and make that a priority. I don't see the justification at all. They have some white people who came around years ago and started saying, calling it the rainbow. You know, kind of, you might excuse the pun, tailgating Jesse Jackson's rainbow push for civil rights. And then they got to saying, well, what is this all about? And when the question was asked, they answered by saying, well, it's another division of civil rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the same thing. Discriminating against gays is the same as discriminating against blacks. And a lot of black people say, wait a minute, it may sound like the same thing, but it ain't the same thing. But they were able to shout all of that down. It is the same thing. Why is it the same thing? Because I said so. White supremacy in action again. Always, because I said so. See, but, you know, but that don't, you know, it sounds like it could be right, but it's something that still don't add up. It ain't the same thing. It is the same thing. Trust me. No different. Discrimination is discrimination, which is another word that people should pay attention to. Everybody discriminates every day. You discriminate when you decide to ride the bicycle to work rather than catch the bus. And does that say that you are discriminating against the bus riders? You know? So that word discrimination, I don't even use it because everybody discriminates. It just means choosing. But what is the key? The key is it a choice that's constructive? When you start talking about black people's plight now, see, that's a different thing altogether. Is it constructive or is it non-constructive? Because it's got to be one or the other. Is it an improvement? Now, we already have a mess with the male-female thing. But you would have that anyway under any system that's unjust. But now, are you making a bigger mess or are you straightening out all the mess that ever was? I have no reason to believe that this is helping to straighten out anything. It's helping to make it worse, particularly when you start doing it right down to the grade school level. Start saying that this is something that, and this is just what you children need. You're 7 years old, and this is what I need? I don't even know what sex is yet. Now you're telling me about alternatives to sex. Well, let's start out so that your mind will get straight. Now, Jane has two mommies, thinking about getting three. Now, what benefit is this to Jane? Well, she learns diversity at an early age. Diverting from what to what in order to do what? Oh, well, we'll know when we get there. Don't ask so many questions. Oh, no. I got a lot of questions. You know, show me how this is a what? Improvement. Which one of these acts? See? Well, you know, being gay. Don't you understand what being gay used to mean? Being happy. I mean, you know, but that ain't what it means, I don't think, when you say it. So you're talking about acts. Show me by demonstration the very act that you're talking about that's going to be an improvement. And then show me, tell me in words how this is a great improvement. Tell me, you know. First do the act with me looking at you, and then after you finish the act, you'll say, now that's act one of being gay. You ain't gay unless you do this. See, you know, there's several things you can do to qualify for being gay. So you got to have qualifications. Otherwise, what's the difference between you and everybody else? If you don't do something different. So you got to do something. So whatever that difference is, you do it. Then you get before, you know, come to the blackboard with the pointer and whatnot, and you say, now, number one, this is an improvement over whatever it is you all are doing out there. It's not just an alternative. And I'm telling you this because you should be on board for supporting act number one, which I just demonstrated to you. This is what you actually ask people to do. See, in other words, stop just talking in circles and whatnot and talking in innuendo. Get the crowd there to come and take their seats respectfully, and then march down the aisle and come up to the podium and have your bed up here or whatever it is you're supposed to have, and do what it is that you say that everybody should be taking an interest in and supporting. And then as you do it, you can turn around and face the crowd every now and then. Just take a little break. Say, now, you saw what we just did. Now, this is an improvement over what has been because of. And then enumerate the improvements and ask for questions and answers. Because if I'm in the audience, I'm going to say, now, how is that an improvement? I just saw what you did from start to finish. I sat here and watched it for 15 minutes until you completed it. Didn't say a word. Now I want you to tell me how that's an improvement over what? I think that what I'll hear is silence. But I don't know. See, because they never get that far. They just go around and say, support us. And if you don't support us, oh, you're some kind of demon. You're some kind of anti-something. No, just explain what you're doing. I mean, like the chief. I don't know about that fire water. You know, how is that going to improve me? How is that going to be an improvement over water? Say, well, didn't you get a little buzz when you... Yeah, I got the little buzz and all like that, but is it an improvement? Say, well, didn't the mountains look like you, you know, saw two of them instead of one? Wouldn't you like to have an extra mountain? Well, an extra mountain might help, but that's not really what I was looking at. I thought I was. Well, Chief, that's what whiskey does. It makes you drunk. Well, is being drunk an improvement over being sober? Well, if you work at it. See how they talk? And they do the same thing with sex.
Again, Mr. Tom,
yes,
sir. Yeah, right. I was going to see if Justice, if she had any questions she would like to ask Mr. Fuller.
Okay.
Justice, are you there?
Hello?
Okay, we can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't have any questions right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why I'm saying, see, I, if they don't have any questions, there's no problem there. All I want them to do, I have said what I had to say. Mm-hmm. I just want them to think about it. After they think about it and think about it thoroughly, they may come to the conclusion that nothing that I said made sense. In which case, they can go ahead with whatever they think is they hear somebody else say. But I think that anything, particularly something that's supposed to be new or you've expanded on something that's old, should be examined. You know, somebody comes to me and says, you know, Fuller, you need to quit this job. I mean, it's a better job over there in that other town, whatnot. Now, I'm willing to listen. But they're gonna have to. We're gonna have to take a weekend and go over there and have me take a look at that job. See what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I ain't gonna just, you know, just sign off and whatnot. I mean, go in there and cuss the boss out and quit, and then go running off to the other job. I mean, when I haven't even looked into it. I'm just asking people to take a look and see where all this goes. And when I say take a look, I don't mean just a short look, because this is pretty big stuff. You take a good long look before you go plunging in, okay? You know, because there's an old saying, if you snore in a bear's face long enough, you'll learn to like it. But bear might not be where it's at, you know? You might get to the place where you can't bear it, but it'll be too late. Because now you're hooked, just like the chief got hooked on that whiskey. Ask any Indian about whiskey, and ask, is whiskey a friend to the Indian? But when they first got it, it looked like it was a friend. He no longer felt the cold. I laid out in the snow all night last night, you know. Maybe the white man got it right. I didn't feel nothing. I woke up with a smile on my face, and I wanted some more, you know. It destroyed him. This thing that the white supremacists are doing with sexuality and bringing it to black people, beware.
I agree wholeheartedly. I especially started paying attention to that when I was seeing so many different black so-called stars, black people who, you know, have a lot of money, are well-known.
Oh, yeah, those are the ones you get first.
Mm.
Yeah, and then have them finance what you're doing to them.
Yes, sir.
You know.
I have noted the white people who allege to be against racism, white supremacy, so-called anti-racist. A lot of them, they will talk about what they call white privilege, and then with that, they will talk about people who are not gay, that they are also privileged. And that there you have mistreatment of people because they are a person of color, and then you have mistreatment of people who do not engage in heterosexual behavior. And how do you feel that plays into the system of white supremacy?
Well, for one thing, they'll take antidotes. That's one thing they'll always do. You can always find an antidote. In other words, an example. Some black person who is so-called gay or homosexual, lesbian, whatever it is, gets beat up. Maybe get killed. Okay? Many people get killed every day for something or another. But the way you looked at me, I mean, you know, so I'm going to kill you. People get killed about that. Okay? So you can always find an example. But what they'll do, they'll just sit back and wait for someone to pick out somebody who's homosexual and beat them up because they are homosexual, okay? Well, basically, these are people that go around and beat up people, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't need much excuse. They're looking for somebody to beat up. All right? See, so that's not unusual. But but here's how shrewd the so-called white supremacist arm of the gay rights movement is. They know that's going to happen. And then when it does happen, they'll say, see? See, that doesn't happen all day, every day. In fact, where it comes to black people, most black people, has been my experience, coming up in the South, the black male, and I knew some of them, the white supremacists would find out that this black male is a homosexual. That's who he'd hire. The black male who is looking at females, when he comes over there to get hired at the White Hotel. No, we don't want you around here. Absolutely not. But we'll take this black male here